Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all of these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Within the 12 days of Christmas, we don't always get a second Sunday. Today's gospel lesson is always the lesson for Christmas too. But if Christmas is on a Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, you don't get a Christmas too. You're already into the Epiphany season. So, our only biblical story of the child Jesus appears yearly for like 3 or 4 years, and then it disappears for 2 or 3 years. Kind of like that hymn mentioning hiddenness. Depending upon the leap year cycle, that's how often it skips. None of which is really that important other than how we mark time. And New Year's is a traditional time to take stock of where we have been and to think about where we are going. Sometimes we make resolutions. I'm going to stop eating sweets and lose 30 pounds. That was from a younger me, maybe 60 pounds for this older version. Or maybe I'm going to learn a new language or travel somewhere new. Most resolutions, I'm told, last about a month. Sometimes the prior year was just bad enough, all we want to do is look forward. I had a work friend, someone I've lost contact with over the years, who called the week between Christmas and New Year's his Big Think Week. He was unmarried, had no kids, and he'd hole himself up with a stack of books, no television. I always had to rib him about missing the bowl games. But he was doing that to revamp yearly his personal life and his goals and his strategy for the upcoming year. I haven't seen him named the CFO of any company yet, so maybe he found something else to worry about. Otherwise, I imagine his big think weeks might be getting kind of desperate by now. But he was a driven guy. The guy who you would actually see resolutions through. Not like they would make him happy, though. But I admired his focus. Some of us are exactly the opposite of that future focus. Whether we feel the narrowing and the count of future years is getting smaller than we'd like, or the weight of all of those potential future years just seems so large that we'd rather recall the past. In the traditional auld lang syne, We might actually think it's future-focused, but not really. Because the bad, the old acquaintances are forgotten, never brought to mind, which just allows us to easily think back of all the good times. It's nostalgic, allowing on the past a golden glow to settle. Maybe some of the golden glow caused by the champagne of the night. But today's gospel always has a feel of something of a New Year's reminiscence. Luke was a traveling companion of Paul, and based on some of the we passages in the book of Acts, we assume that Luke ended up at Jerusalem at least once, if not a couple of times. And since he tells us he researched his books and talked to the eyewitnesses, Mary is the logical eyewitness living with John for all of these early stories. You can see Mary telling Luke this story while Paul and John are often arguing about important things, like the law-free gospel. And it's a thick story. Mary's been holding these things in her heart a long time, pondering them for just this moment. And she opens with her summary. Jesus kept growing. Oh, did he get strong? And he was always so sharp. God's grace was on him. And she passes through amazement at what she is recalling. Everyone was always amazed, including us. Oh, let me tell you about this time that we lost him. And the teachers at the temple were amazed at his insights and his questions. None of us, not those teachers, not Joseph, not me, really understood what he was doing. But we were amazed at it. And Mary ends her reflection with her action. I just continued to keep all of these words in my heart until you, Luke, came along and wanted to write them down. Jesus just kept advancing in wisdom and in stature and in favor among God and man. God was active in Jesus' life. God had a plan. Not that any of us understood the fullness of it until after the cross and resurrection. But Jesus already then was fulfilling the Father's plan. And not the world, nor the greatest teachers of the law, nor even Mary understood it all, though Mary was content to ponder it and wait for God to make it plain. But think again for a moment about those temple teachers. This was the Jewish Harvard of the day. And in the midst of teaching these legal case studies to all of their future rabbis, a 12-year-old wanders up and begins asking questions. Imagine it, a slightly different Goodwill Hunting. A 12-year-old wanders into a Harvard class and takes a seat. Look at that. How cute. I'll let him stay. Maybe I'll use him as an object lesson a little bit later. Son, what do you say about this important point of the law we are discussing? My best students seem stumped. Oh, I see we have a bright young child. Good guess. You know, you're making all of these future rabbis look stupid. What was that? Oh, you asked the question. Well, let me think. Oh, that's a good question. I hadn't thought of that. Let me call over my tenured colleague. Where's your mother, by the way? Comrade, this child has a question that you have to hear an answer. Maybe you will be able to answer it. And the questions for 3 days continued. The 12-year-old looking for answers, advancing in wisdom, and the 50-year-old's amazed that his questions were taxing them. This is nowhere near as cute as we thought it was going to be. Meanwhile, that worried mother and father searching for the child don't understand his purpose either. Child, I'm sure these nice men have had enough of your questions. It's time to go home. And he did go, but not really home. He gives mom something more to ponder. Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? But he submits. And Jesus went back to that backwater town of Nazareth. Mary continued to keep all of these words in her heart. The teachers of the law breathed a sigh of relief. But Mary pondered. And God's purpose continued. Jesus continued to advance in wisdom and in stature and in favor in the presence of God and man. Regardless of our understanding, God's kingdom, God's purpose grew and advanced. Mary pondered what this might mean and held it all in her heart until the historian could take it down. So, what can this lone story of the childhood of Jesus tell us? I'm going to suggest 3 things. God's will for his people will happen. And that will is for them to grow. Now, it might not be simple growth, the kind that my big think friend was certainly after. Numbers going straight up from bottom left to top right. But it's growth. Because Jesus continued to grow in wisdom and stature and favor. And Mary pondering these things and Luke recording these things and saints from all times and all places have meditated over these things. God wants his people to grow in wisdom. And the source of that wisdom is the Word of God. The human Word, Jesus Christ, who came for us. The written Word that we have in the Bible. And the spoken Word in preaching, study, and prayer. The Father's will, his purpose for his children, is to be like Christ, to conform to his likeness, to grow in wisdom, to grow in understanding of the Word. And that's where the spiritual life starts, in that Word of God. So let me add a special note here. Reading that Word, one of the first temptations is for us to sit in judgment over the Word. Our understanding of it becomes the gauge of it. But that's not what the child Jesus does. The Heavenly Father was certainly the Father of Jesus. And his question back to Joseph and Mary wasn't wrong, but Jesus was submissive to them. 12-year-old Jesus had a fourth commandment obligation: honor your father and mother, honor Joseph and Mary. And God's will for his son and for us is to be faithful to the Word. Jesus would say that he fulfills the law. And now, it may seem strange at times, like a 12-year-old son of God who was amazing the teachers of the Jewish Harvard, being called back to Nazareth. By our wisdom, that is odd. But it was God's humble wisdom. It's through submission to the will of the Father, through being faithful to the call of Christ wherever it leads us, that we find our growth in wisdom. Because the kingdom of God doesn't advance through our effort, but only through the initiative of the Holy Spirit. And to the extent that we set ourselves up as judges of the Word, we throttle that Spirit. We grow in the Spirit when we submit to the Word. Now, Jesus also continued to grow in stature. He was still a child, 12 years old. And the child would continue to physically grow and become a mature human. And this should remind us that the body is important, because we are not Gnostics. We're not watching and looking and waiting for a hoping for a spiritual release. We are waiting for the resurrection of the dead. Our great hope is that we will one day be like Christ, putting off this mortal body and putting on the immortal one. Just like Jesus, we are human, which means these bodies are important. And our sacraments point to this fact. Baptism is the Word of God combined to water. The body and blood of Christ come under bread and wine. We, the church, are the body of Christ. Bodies are important, and God wants them to grow. Christ, the head, wants his body, the church, to grow. After all, God says he does not want to see any sinner perish. And God's method to save sinners is by what his church does. And at times we can be a deeply flawed group. The church is a gathering of sinners, after all. If you're not a sinner, this place is not for you. But we are a body that needs to continually turn to Christ. in repentance and to continually be renewed by His Spirit. Jesus continued to grow in stature. These bodies are important. Physical growth is important. And Jesus continued to grow in favor, or in grace, depending upon your translation, in the presence of God and man. The 12-year-old Jesus amazed the Jewish Harvard teachers, and he grew in grace. The Christian life is one of growth spiritually as well. We continue to grow in grace in the presence of God and men. And this can at times be difficult to discern. If we think about only growth in wisdom, we might become haughty instead of humble. Even great Solomon ends up quite the fool by the end of his life. Because even great wisdom is truly found only in humble submission to the truth. If we think only about growth in stature, we might become prideful. There are lots of ways that look like they are great ways to build a church, but they aren't. It's not the church if it's not about the things of the Father. And those things of the Father are about His grace. That 12-year-old Jesus ends up on a cross, which doesn't look like growth unless it's grace. Jesus did the will of His Father because of that cross, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, we have been freed from our bondage to sin. Growing in grace may not always look like what we think it should look like, but it's centered in doing the purpose of the Father. The will of the Father, the mission of God, is to save sinners. We grow in grace when we faithfully walk in the path that the Father has laid out in advance for us. So, like Mary, ponder it in your hearts. How are we being conformed to the likeness of Jesus? How are we growing in wisdom and stature and in grace? What do we need to submit to the purpose of God this year? A New Year's meditation. Amen.